Does Jesus actually desire to be associated with unrighteous people? Now, that's the question raised by today's gospel reading. We're told that the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Those Pharisees and scribes witnessed Jesus in the company of the unrighteous. And what they saw both confuses and even more so angers them. And so Jesus responds by telling three stories about lost things. A story about a lost sheep, a story about a lost coin, and a story about a lost son. And with those three parables, Jesus explains what was happening when he was receiving the unrighteous into his company. He was welcoming them so that they would no longer be in that category. But rather, those who had wandered away or had lapsed would be found and they would be restored. That such an outcome was being accomplished by Jesus was to be a cause for joy, not a cause for grumbling. Here again, the two of the three that Jesus told, we read two of them in today's gospel reading. He says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Now note in both stories that both of them involve joy. There is joy for the shepherd who finds the lost sheep. There is joy for the woman who finds the lost coin. Remember the words, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." The shepherd and the woman both reveal that they are joyful over the results. They are glad because the situation of their loss was not permanent. For the lost status of the sheep, or the lost status of the coin, did not only affect that particular animal or that particular piece of silver. Rather, it was also being felt by the shepherd and being felt by the woman. But just the opposite is the case when the sheep is returned to the fold or when the coin is put back in the purse. By speaking about joy coming to the shepherd and the woman when they find what had been lost, Jesus reveals that the character of those figures in his story are actually reflecting the Lord's own character. A character that we heard about in today's Old Testament reading, where the prophet Micah utters a statement of praise about the Lord, saying, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. Those words from Micah echoed words that the Lord himself spoke to Moses centuries earlier, centuries before Micah ever lived. Words that spoke about the Lord himself, the Lord talking about himself. When he told Moses, "I, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." But as we heard from the stories of Jesus, that character was not only to be displayed by the Lord in his actions, the Lord who is represented in those lost parables that Jesus tells, represented by the shepherd who lost the sheep, or the woman who finds the lost coin, or the father who receives back his lost son. For remember what those characters do, what they say in Jesus' story when they find what was lost. Remember? When he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." And then in the parable of the lost son, which we didn't read this morning, in that story, the father says to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." You see, those stories that Jesus tells don't have the shepherd or the woman or the father being the only figures who celebrate the restoration of what was lost. But rather, their joy is extended. They invite their neighbors and friends to be part of that joy. The shepherd and the woman and the father want their joy to also become the joy of their neighbors. And that joy in the parables that Jesus tells represents the gladness that comes when the unrighteous are brought into righteousness, which is what Jesus summarizes. "Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." From those words of Jesus, we can learn that the angels are the Lord's friends and neighbors who rejoice whenever sinners are led to understand their record of transgression and guilt, but then they obtain the salvation that the Lord desires to give them. This is the restoration that Jesus was bringing to the tax collectors and sinners who were all drawing near to hear him. Jesus, by doing that, was putting the Lord's character into action, just like the prophet Micah foretold. "He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old." But there's still more. Because that shared joy was not only to be limited to the angels, because everyone who has been brought into the Lord's fellowship has also become his friend and neighbor here on earth. All of them once were lost, but now they are found. All of them once were far off from the Lord, but now they have been brought near to him. And the Lord's joy when he found that lost person is to be shared also by the one he has restored. But even more so, that same joy is also to be shared when any lost person is found, whether an individual is brought into fellowship with the Lord, whenever that happens. Jesus tells these parables because that shared joy was quite lacking among the Pharisees and scribes when he was carrying out that process of restoration. See, that's what sparked the stories that he tells. The tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Those Pharisees and scribes were not joyful at having tax collectors and sinners hear about the Lord's righteousness and then be led to repentance and restoration. And Jesus' statements at the end of each of the stories he tells, those statements criticize that lack of joy that the scribes and Pharisees did not have. The Lord's angelic neighbors in heaven, they were rejoicing over what Jesus was accomplishing. And what Jesus also is saying is the Lord's earthly friends and neighbors, the ones down here, are also to react likewise. Now, that same restoration that Jesus gave to the tax collectors and sinners who drew near to hear him, that is the same restoration that he gives to us. And that happens when we are drawn to receive the benefits of salvation that Jesus has earned through his atoning work. Our lost status is revealed to us when the Lord's law identifies our sin and our guilt and shows where we have gone outside of his standards of righteousness. But he doesn't leave us there. That's not the only message we hear from the Lord. Instead, the work of Jesus is also proclaimed for us to hear, showing us that restoration is possible, that we can be brought into fellowship with the Lord, and not just that we can, but that the invitation is issued for us to receive that restoration. Not just, well, restoration might be possible, but it's not for you. No, it's for you. I want you to be part of it. That's what God is giving to us with that message about Jesus' work. And that happens when the gospel comes to our hearing. In fact, we might recall the gospel readings that we've had these past recent Sundays where we were hearing about how we have been invited to be born of water and the Spirit, and we have been invited to hear the scriptures and what they testify about Jesus, and we've been invited to come to the banquet that he's prepared for us, and through holy baptism and through preaching of the gospel and through eating of the Lord's Supper, we receive that restoration that Jesus' death and resurrection makes possible for us. So that we are no longer lost, but we are found. We're no longer dead, we're alive. And there's joy in heaven among the angels because of that result. But that restoration also means we've become the Lord's friends and neighbors down here on earth. And if that's so, According to the stories that Jesus tells, we are to have similar joy when other lost individuals are found and they receive the same restoration. This is what Jesus invites us to be part of. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead, and he is alive. He was lost, and now he is found. And that joy is what's been exhibited in our congregation, especially over the last several years, and the last couple years especially, when we've been receiving more individuals into membership. We're rejoicing when people are first made disciples of Jesus, when they receive baptism. And there's rejoicing when people have become more active participants in the household of God, and they grasp more and more about how God provides his salvation to them through the means of grace that Jesus established. And then there's rejoicing when people have reaffirmed being part of the kingdom of God, whether they have joined us from nearby or they've come to us from other faraway areas. None of them returning to a lost status, but rather keeping that found place that Jesus established for them. And all those Sundays, when we've had a baptism or a confirmation or reception of members in our divine services, those are all times of joy. In fact, we'll have another one of those today. But there's other moments. There's other moments that we might not immediately recognize, or other moments that might be kept partially hidden from us. There are also times for rejoicing. And that includes when we have people come through our church doors for the first time to worship with us and to hear the message of Christ with us. Or when individuals who haven't been present for a while return to receive Christ's gifts. Or when longtime members who have been struggling with guilt over various sins hear how the Lord cast those sins into the depths of the sea, and they're drowned, and they're no longer binding, they're no longer snagging people anymore. So you might not actually visibly recognize those. But those are also times for joy to be among us here also, just as there is joy in heaven before the angels of God. And that joy is to be shared by all of us whom Jesus has found and has made to be God's friends and neighbors, even here on earth. Because Jesus actually does desire to be associated with unrighteous people. He wants to be associated with them so that they become righteous. Even more precisely, because he wants to make them righteous. He wants to find the lost sheep and the lost coins and the lost sons in this world so that they will be found and be part of the life in the world to come. And even more amazingly, he involves us in doing so. He makes us part of it. So draw near to him to hear his words of salvation and find gladness in what he has done for you. But then also speak about the redemption that you have received. And then even more importantly, share his joy when others do likewise, when they are found alongside you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.